Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Culturefile debate. My name is Rachel Andrews, and I'm here with a panel of guests. I suppose we're talking to you via the Sarah Walker Gallery in Castletown Bear. We're talking about the exhibition In Parallel that's currently on display at the gallery. And I have with me a panel including the two curators of the show and the two artists whose work is on display at the show. So I'd like to welcome our guests to the Culturefile debate. Here with me, I have the artist Charles Tyrrell. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Rachel.
I have the artist Martin Gale. Welcome, Martin.
Thanks, Rachel.
I have the curator and consultant Nuala Fenton. Welcome, Nuala.
Thank you.
And I have the artist and gallerist Sarah Walker. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks, Rachel.
The exhibition In Parallel is inspired by parallel practices and parallel lives, bringing together the works of two veteran painters with visual styles that could hardly be more different. Charles Tyrrell's approach is one of abstraction with imposing works forming large shifting grids and systematic titles like CG5.22 that offer no hint of reference to the viewer. From Martin Gale, we get realism and rich narrative told through scenes in the Irish countryside with evocative titles like The Dogs Are in the Wood. I'd like to start, I suppose, by asking Nuala and Sarah a little about the genesis of the exhibition. Maybe I might start with you, Nuala, and maybe you could tell us a little about how the idea of bringing the two artists together came about, the two artists who seem to be coming from very different places, I suppose, in terms of approach to their form.
Yeah, I think it started about a few years ago. Sarah and I were talking. I think Sarah actually first suggested it and said, how about we do an exhibition of Charles Tyrrell and Martin Gale, and we both know the artists very well and have there's been many opportunities where they have exhibited in the same places, such as the Fenton Gallery and prior to that at the Crawford. So for both Sarah and I, we were very interested in both of their work. And because we've got a sort of a long-standing relationship with both the artists and between ourselves, it just seemed like kind of exciting, you know, really nice to look, to engage and look again at both their work and see what exactly is going on right now. So, you know, it's always such a pleasure to spend time with paintings in a gallery space. You get to really look deep again and follow what's been happening. Well, the big thing being like Charlie's and Martin's lives have been connected since they were in art college, which is a good while ago. And, you know, they gone on so well together and did so much during those years together. And then just their lives in parallel kind of continued and developed. Their practice changed. They exhibited. They both exhibited a lot with Taylor, which is another connection and another relationship within all this. So, so there's their mutual connection, artistic and friendship. And then there is, as I say, all these other art world connections going on too.
They just, I don't know exactly why, but they seemed like kind of a natural choice to put the two of them together. And I suppose also because of the contrasting style of work, you know, that was an interesting juxtaposition. I mean, we had quite a definite idea of how we were going to hang the show. But then, you know, when the work arrived, of course, we changed that completely, which was great, you know. So, and it really works so well together. You know, it's amazing how well the two different types of work are getting on with each other.
Yeah. How did the title suggest itself?
We kind of worked on the title for a good while. I mean, between all of us, didn't we?
All four of us came up with the title.
We batted titles around, didn't we?
We batted around a lot of titles. But I guess that was really part of the idea, definitely, was the two artists' lives running in parallel and working away, you know, for all those years and still keeping in touch with each other and still being friends. And then the same for myself and Nuala, you know, so it seemed to work.
Yes, absolutely. And maybe I could turn to the artists. I mean, we're talking about that idea of the title In Parallel and Parallel Lives and working in very different ways, I suppose, with painting. However, you both were students together at NCAD. Maybe we could just talk a little bit about that experience. Maybe Martin.
Yeah, well, we met in a first year in the College of Art. I think it was 1968, probably. And we were both in foundation year. And in our second year there, I think just the end of our second year, the kind of student revolution broke out. And the whole system within the college broke down. You know, the curriculum went out the window, and we were able to more or less go our own way. We set up our own little studios, and we all kind of learned from each other. And Charlie and I became friends quite early on, and we used to slip out of the college in the afternoon and go around the commercial galleries, maybe up to the municipal. And what we were doing actually was getting kind of familiarising ourselves with the kind of art scene and how the art scene worked, because the college didn't prepare you for any of that. You know, the college was really was rooted in the 19th century, which is part of the reason that the revolution happened, to try and bring it up into the modern age. And so we found out a lot about what being a professional artist would be like on our own. And when we were working away in our little studios together, we talked, because there wasn't much tuition at this stage. Most of the tuition had finished, except for a few part-time teachers. But we learned a lot from each other. Do you remember, Charlie? We would trash each, you know, have these sort of critiques.
Absolutely,
among ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's actually, funnily enough, it's how I, although we work so separately, so different, our work is so, you know, miles apart. But because I'd seen, speaking for me, when I'd seen the way Charlie was working and developing, that I kind of trusted everything that he was doing. You know, I knew that he knew what he was doing, and I knew where it was coming from, the kind of research and stuff that went into it. And, you know, probably that same, would you say the same, would you, Charlie?
It was nice to hear that, you say that. Yeah, but the very same, I could see that we were very different artists, and that was really interesting to be at the point of, well, in actual fact, there was a point where Martin was doing abstract work and I was beavering away in the life room. It was short-lived, that, and then we swapped roles and Martin went down the more figurative, realist way, and I swallowed abstraction hook, line and sinker. And it's still stuck in my gullet.
And did you find, you know, Martin's talking there about the, as I suppose, the landscape outside of the of NCAD in terms of the galleries and the work that you were going to see, like, were you learning or gaining inspiration?
I think both of us had fairly voracious appetites for seeing what was happening outside. And as Martin said, the college wasn't geared in that direction whatsoever. It was geared towards a fairly fundamental academic grounding in painting and sculpture. Nothing wrong with that, but it was the problem was the limitations. It only went so far. Took no account of personal creativity. And that's that we wanted to delve into and develop our own work. So, yeah, we were looking all the time. And, of course, traveling as students, I know Martin had gone to England, and I worked for three consecutive years in America as a student, you know, on these J-1 visas. So that exposed me to a lot, and exposed me to the great American abstract expressionist body of work, and it made such sense to me, and still does. And I've just sort of I just went with that. But that was very much learning ourselves, you know. There's no doubt about it. You know, and as Martin pointed out, learning from each other. There was a great camaraderie through the whole disruption of what we were trying to do in changing the system. We were very much thrown on top of each other as well, and in terms of communicating with each other and developing with each other. And there was a wonderful atmosphere in the middle of the chaos. And so that's my art school experience. I don't know what a good art school might be like.
Well, the other thing, Charlie, was we were very lucky that we were in a very good year. There were several students in our year became accomplished artists. And, you know,
that's right.
And
they were driven, yeah.
Yeah, so there was that kind of collective, you know, thing there that existed fine without the college, actually.
Yeah.
So it was really like, in some ways, it was the formation of the relationships really that were as key as
I think that could be said generally for any art college experience. I think the interaction with your peer group is vital, absolutely vital, you know, as well as tuition. I think something magical can happen within that sort of dynamic.
And were you both, even though I know you've approached painting in very different ways, were you both, from an early stage, were you both very attracted to, I suppose, the medium of painting?
Yeah. For me, there was no... I mean, I told my parents I was going to college, I was going into graphic design, I was going to get a job in TV or whatever. And I think it was the first 5 minutes in the college I realised that was... I didn't even know what I was talking about, actually. So it was painting.
There was a smell of oil paint that you just wafted up from the painting department. And
It was intoxicating.
Yeah. You know the ad for the Bisto ads, the Bisto kids? We were like the Bisto kids following that odour down the corridors.
Yeah.
But you said... there was a moment where you were maybe doing some figurative work, but then, you know, soon, very, very early on, you found your way into sort of abstract.
Yeah. Well, I did quite a bit of life drawing right up to the end. And I would say I was probably the first person who graduated from the college without showing anything figurative. And I did that very deliberately. I had a portfolio of stuff that was pretty respectable drawing, but I consciously withheld it and showed a completely non-figurative body of work. I embraced it very sort of, I'd almost say from this point, precociously, arrogantly in a way. But oddly enough, I've got a painting from that period and it hangs, I live with it. If I could humbly say, I think it's really good. And I find it really interesting that, you know, that you can make, you can hit out, you know, and with youthful, arrogant exuberance and hit the note. Even if you don't quite understand what that note is. But I'm at a point now where I'm looking at those paintings and I'm thinking of revisiting what I did exactly 50 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, well, I presume a work is never really complete, is it? You know, there's always...
Well, yeah. It's interesting meeting yourself, you know, going around and you know, meeting your young self and realizing there was something there, even though you didn't quite understand.
But that's really interesting, Charles, that you say that, because that business about revisiting ideas that you had, you know, that you worked on maybe 40, 50 years ago. But I've done that as well. I found myself really looking at something, God, I could do that so much better now. Or I could bring something else to it now. And I've got, you know, 40, 50 years experience to bring to it, the same kind of idea.
Yeah,
that's another little coincidence.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, from the early days, the college days, I was far more interested in pop art, say, than the rest of the students. College had been very taken with what Charlie was saying there, American Abstract Expressionism and New Wave Expressionism. But I was interested in pop art, and after I left school, I spent a few months in London, right in the middle of the 60s. And, you know, the 60s was a really vibrant time in London. Pop art was happening. Up to that, like, my idea of a gallery, or the nearest thing I came to a gallery, was going into record shops and looking at LP sleeves, which during the 60s, you know, there'd been a great explosion in design, graphic design and colour. So album covers were, there was a lot of creativity happening there. And I remember being kind of fired by that and realising that there was that fine art and popular culture could, you know, because pop art bought, that's what pop art did. You know, it brought popular culture into the fine art arena. And I remember feeling somehow there was some kind of... the way I could fit into that. That was something I wanted to be engaged with. And that was the way it was until I left college, went down to live in the countryside, where I'd been brought up in the countryside anyway. And suddenly everything changed. You know, the kind of early pop art paintings, which Charlie would remember, were big flat colours, sort of stylized landscapes, gave way to a much more realistic way of working, you know, more direct, I suppose.
Nuala and Sarah, again, in terms of relationship and connection, your own, I suppose, history in terms of knowing each other, I believe you both met as well at art college.
Yeah, we met in foundation year in college. Well, Nuala went on to do history of art in Trinity, but then I went on to do fine art in NCAD. We were in NCAD for foundation year. We stayed very close friends ever since.
And what was the experience of NCAD like? What Charlie and Martin are saying, was it, did that have any resonances, or was it a very different kind of space at that stage?
Well, I suppose it had opened up a bit.
We had changed it.
Yeah, they had done the work for us.
We did the groundwork.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was just, well, I guess first year was different because it was much more kind of learning process, wasn't it? In foundation, yeah, you know, you would have tried loads of different things.
Making giant pineapples at one stage.
Oh, yeah, I was making soft sculptures. I was a big fan of Claes Oldenburg. So I made a giant stitched up pineapple.
I made huge matchsticks.
Did you? Did you, Charlie?
Yes, at some point.
Right, wow.
Going way back.
I remember them walking around town with them, being photographed, walking down Dawson Street with them.
That's right.
Into Stephen's Green.
Stephen's Green. 6 foot matchsticks.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
wow.
Pop art had a place in the College of Art.
I don't know if I ever went anywhere with my pineapple.
I stood outside Dáil Éireann with six big matchsticks, and I had very baffled guards looking at me, wondering, is this a terrorist moment, or is it just
What's going to happen here?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to think about our college as a point of connection. Like, obviously, for all of us, but, you know, when I think back to it, even the team at the Fenton, everybody had come through our college system.
Really?
Eden, Lena, everybody who worked there had, so it was,
everybody should go to art school.
Maybe everyone should go to art school.
Yeah, and then become bankers and lawyers.
Well, I think in fairness, though, Nuala, what that was, that kind of created a kind of camaraderie that surrounded the Fenton Gallery, actually. There was a camaraderie there. And that one of the common elements was that we'd all been to art school, so we'd all had roughly the same growing up experience, you know. Mm-hmm. So it did create that kind of camaraderie there. You weren't dealing with business people or whatever.
Yeah, kind of a community.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nuala, had you come into contact with Charlie at an early stage?
Yeah. I think we'd all come in contact before, and prior to that I'd worked in the Crawford. Charlie and I think it was probably a rather unusual.
We met in Baghdad.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we met on the plane to Baghdad.
You have to tell us more.
I think it was Saddam Hussein trying to make Iraq look like an international cultured place. And the Ministry of Culture set up Baghdad International Festival of Art in the late 80s, early 90s. And so a team from Ireland were invited over. And in fact, it was Sarah's mother, Dorothy, who was a very, very instrumental in development of contemporary art in Ireland at the time and prior to that. She invited me and a number of other artists, and Nuala was part of the team with Dorothy. And we had this extraordinary 10 days in Baghdad, wined and dined, well, maybe not wined, in Baghdad, and shown the sights. And It was quite something. Yeah, I have an abiding memory of the minister for information, who wore fatigues and carried a gun, viewing the exhibition as if he was inspecting a guard of honor, marching by the works. Yeah. Anyway, but that's where Nuala and I first met.
And what year was that?
My father on that trip?
Your father wasn't. No.
No. Oh, right.
No,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
Patrick Scott was on it, and Mary Fitzgerald.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Fela Megan, I think.
It was quite a. And Brian De Breffney. Baron Brown de Breffni.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, right. Yeah. Mm. Wow.
It was quite an outing. Yeah, it's never left me, actually, that.
I can imagine.
I carry it.
I can imagine, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, both Charlie and I actually started exhibiting our work before we left the college. The very first exhibition I had was a two-man show with John Devlin in the Davis Gallery in Capel Street. And that was 71 or 72, I think. And the same year we'd submitted work into the Irish Exhibition of Living Art and got accepted. So we were already dipping our toes in the world of professional art, you know, well before we left college even. So it was very, we were kind of, by the time we left college, we were well on the way, so, you know, in terms of, we had a direction to go in, you know.
My first exhibition in the Project Art Centre in South King Street, where it was just a year prior to it moving down to where it is now in East Essex Street. But I was still an art student when I had that exhibition. So it was very precocious behaviour, really.
Yeah, it was. But do you remember we were both on the committee of the project at one point?
We were sort of student members. We were brought in as student members, that's right.
So you had that show before your degree show?
Yes. Right? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but again, the college weren't happy with me removing the work from the college.
Right.
Because there's some sort of bylaw or understanding that the work, students' work, actually belongs to the college.
To the college. Mm.
But we kind of ignored that and stormed out and carried a whole exhibition from Kildare Street over to South King Street in a parade of these big stained abstract canvases.
So there was never any doubt that you would continue to sort of be a painter, you know.
Yeah, I do remember making a decision not to do the teaching course, which would be like the HDIP, the equivalent was called Principle of Teaching, which was available as a postgraduate thing, and I decided not to on principle. I didn't want to fall into teaching. Even though a few years later I did end up teaching in Dunleary Art College.
And you've always worked as an artist as well, haven't you, Sarah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the gallery is sort of an expansion of that, do you see, or are they two kind of separate?
Well, I have my studio in the gallery. I just, I suppose I wanted to separate studio from home. So I rented a studio space on the main street in Castletown Bear. So we live about 10 minutes drive from there in Irees. And then I just kind of started to show what I was doing a little bit there in the rented space. And the concept was kind of working, you know, to show your work in the same premise. And so then that space was a bit small, so I really needed a bigger space. So my husband was fishing at the time from the pier where the gallery building is, and he noticed that one was for sale. So it's a great building. Like, it's about 105 feet long. There was room for everything. It was a bit of a wreck. But so I bought that building then in 2003. So mostly I've just used it really to show my own work and as a kind of project space. Like, I've showed a lot of young artists' work, or I did a whole series of graduate exhibitions. You know, I used to go around every year and look at all the degree shows all around the country, and then put together group shows in the summer, a summer show, you know. Then I guess the last couple of years, just with Nuala, and because Nuala had worked with artists, well, with like Charlie and Martin before, you know, we just thought to do something on a different level, I suppose.
It's sort of a lot of connections.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the space is really
a wonderful
beautiful.
Space. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful space. I've never seen my work looks as well as when I walked in to see the exhibition there. Like, it's very hard. I've said this to Sarah at the time, but I think artists aren't allowed into their own work for a long time. It's very hard to gain access to your own work. You make it, but it takes a long time to see it in an objective sort of a way. And so I'm used to that. But when I went in to see the exhibition, when it was hung, I had nothing to do with the hanging. I suddenly saw my paintings in a way that I'd not been allowed before, or as quickly as I've, you know, because they're fairly new paintings, only a few months old, you know. But the space is, there's something happens in the space. It's right on the water, beautiful light. There's actually shimmering light coming in from the water through a couple of apertures. And it's something special happens there.
Yeah, there's definitely a response in the space. I think people come in and they feel good.
Yeah, but also like your paintings feel at home there.
Yeah.
And that's what I found when I walked in and saw my paintings in the water. Well, it is looking. Because a very odd thing happens. Between what you do in the studio and then when you take the work out of the studio and put it onto a gallery wall, your relationship changes between you and the painting, you know. It's suddenly on a gallery wall, it's out there on its own, and your little gallery really feels like a home from home.
And do you think that, I mean, obviously with your father being Robin Walker, the eminent architect, do you think you have a natural interest in space?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have a natural interest in space. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And also you manage another space down the road, Beauhour Buoy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I ended up in West Cork, because that was, so my father designed that house and that was our holiday house when we were kids. We were very fortunate to go down there every summer. It's quite a big place. It's designed so that it's actually divided into separate buildings. And one of the buildings was always called the studio. So it was used by various different artists over the years when my parents were still alive. So I just went down there to use that studio, you know, thinking for a couple of months. But that was in 1991 and I'm still there. So time moves forward and...
I mean, that's a place where there's a huge history of connection and relationship as well. I mean, Seamus Heaney wrote a poem around it.
Yeah, he did. He wrote about that. He was a really, really close friend of my parents. And so they would have come down a fair bit. And he wrote a poem about the house and also about my dad. Yeah.
And have either of you two ever used it as a studio, that space?
No. I've not, no. Yeah. But I've partied.
I've partied. Used something else.
Maybe this is an unfair question, but do you think you will continue to collaborate, Sarah and Nuala, as you have been?
Maybe. See what comes up, I guess.
It's all organic. See what happens.
Yeah.
But the idea of the connections and relationships seems to be something, from what you're talking about, Sarah, and that what's happening in the gallery, it sounds like a very fertile space for connection.
Ever since we were pavement drawing together as teenagers.
Yeah, yeah, we actually, at the summer after we were in art college together, we got inspired by a book in the art college library of black and white photos of movie stars, you know, like Greta Garbo and people. Yeah. And then off we went.
Only we actually worked on the drawings together, on the one drawing, which when you think of it is pretty surprising.
It was fairly effortless to just divvy out who was doing what.
Yeah.
It was really easy. I mean, just no big deal. It just kind of worked.
Yeah.
And where were those drawings?
On the pavement in Grafton Street.
We toured.
We toured. We went to Paris.
Yeah, we went to Paris and London on the way.
Showing in Paris, my goodness.
We need more pavement drawings, please.
I know, it was really a thing of the time, wasn't it? Like in the 80s, it was so big. Yeah,
quite competitive in Grafton Street.
It was, we used to go and count our change with the Benzini brothers and the Bailey afterwards.
Well, I want to thank you all very much for your discussion today. It was really delightful to hear you all talk. The exhibition is running in Sarah Walker Gallery until this day week, and I do invite all listeners to take the opportunity to go see it. The works are amazing in the space, and the space itself is amazing. It's a delight to spend time there. Thank you all for joining us today for this rich discussion. Thank you, Martin Gale.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Charles Tyrrell.
Great, Rachel. Lovely.
Thank you, Nuala Fenton.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sarah Walker.
Thanks very much, Rachel.
We'll be back for the Culturefile Weekly this time next week at 6:30.